Well, you know, tonight we're very fortunate to have Joe Strova, an old friend of mine, and Vern Inge, one of our trusty sponsors with LeClaire Ryan, and two guys that certainly know more about the sports, the world of sports business than most people that we know. Two guys that I think are going to give us some opinions, hopefully, if we can squeeze it out of them. But first off, a little bit of background. Joe has a nice business, Sports Development LTD. Sometimes trades as Strova and Associates over there on Malin Drive. How long have you been at it, Joe?
A long time, since 1981.
Wow.
Coming up on, I guess, 30 years.
Wow. And then we've also got our good friend here, Vernon E. Inge, Jr.
Formal tonight.
Very formal.
That's what happens when you wear a necktie into the studio.
It is a good-looking orange necktie.
It is. It's a quality. He probably wore that one specifically for us.
That's right.
Anyhow, a sports and entertainment specialist, listed in the best lawyers in America, commercial litigation, and some other distinctions, legal elite in the area of business laws since 2005, and a UVA Law School grad as well as a University of Richmond grad, and we're pleased to have both of you with us tonight.
I'm glad to be
glad
here.
To be here.
All right, let's get right to it. Hopefully our listeners are going to jump on this because we're looking for calls tonight.
Yeah, 345-0910, in case anybody forgot the number.
So we've got some big news here in the world of sports going on. Cam Newton and his father, who apparently can't stop talking, Cecil Newton. Cam Newton is the front runner until recently for the Heisman Trophy, just setting all kinds of records for Auburn University. And the Tigers are undefeated, coming off huge wins every week and seem to be steamrolling everybody. And he literally can run, pass, jump over the tallest buildings. He's almost Superman. There's all these allegations of, you know, did his father ask for money in advance before he signed with one of these SEC schools? Mississippi State has fired allegations off. Florida has released rumors about his academic background, and it's just swirled into a crazy tsunami. At the same time, just in recent years, there's been all this controversy surrounding Reggie Bush and what he did out at Southern Cal, and he had to give back the Heisman Trophy, first time in the long, distinguished history of that awesome award that an athlete has been asked.
I'm going to have to jump in here and ask a question, otherwise we're going to run out of time.
You know, Jim,
but, you know, but I guess my question is, what is the going price for a good college quarterback these days? I guess supposedly it was $200,000 down there at Auburn. And, of course, as Frank used the key word, allegations. You know, we have to constantly stress that to keep the law. Vern may have to represent us in the suit. But just your opinion about the situation down there and in general, some of the problems of college athletics based on it being such a big business.
Well, I'll jump in and first say that one of the things we need to keep in mind is we don't know exactly what's going on there in Auburn, and of course there are other places, Carolina and things, that investigations are still going on, lots of rumors swirling, and nobody knows exactly what's happened. But the truth of the matter is that we all know that these types of things happen in college football and certainly in the major college sports. Unfortunately, Cam Newton is obviously as good as a player as we've seen in a long time and is worth a lot of money to get him to come into your program. And occasionally folks are going to be tempted to pay money, either the boosters or the schools themselves. Who knows what exactly happened in this case, whether there's any real problem there. But it is the kind of thing that we see. And you can blame the system, blame lots of things, but these athletes are clearly worth money coming into the program.
Maybe you guys don't know that. What's the process of an NCAA investigation? In other words, when the NCAA investigates something like this, what takes place?
Well, typically the first thing that happens is there's a report somehow or a rumor that comes about, and usually what the schools try to do is get out in front of it. The schools often, you will see, will do their own investigation, which is primarily what UNC is doing right now, I understand. And what they want to do is control control the process themselves and will usually self-sanction. In other words, they'll do their investigation, find out if there was wrongdoing on their own, report it to the NCAA and say, we did our investigation, this is what we found, and this is how we're going to sanction ourselves. And you may say we're going to forfeit all of our games. You may say we're going to not be eligible for bowl games or postseason play in basketball or something like that. But they usually try to self-sanction and hope that the NCAA will say, okay, that's enough. That's how the process usually works. Now, if the NCAA has to jump in and take control, they have investigators that go out and look for the dirt and try to dig it up, and then they will, you know, implement their own sanctions if need be.
We've got a caller. I believe Gary's on the line. Gary, have you got a question for our guests?
Sure, Frank. Either one of them. Nice talking to you guys this evening. Just was curious as to, in this whole area, the experience you all have. So where do the issues usually resonate? Is it recruiting from the high school to college, or is it generally more, once you get in college, trying to establish those relationships earlier and interfering with the NCAA regulations there?
I'm sorry, this is Gary?
Yes.
Gary, I didn't hear the first part of your question.
I think he asked about is it generally recruiting or is it academics? In other words, is it a problem getting them or keeping them?
Yeah, or the
or all of the above.
Yeah.
Are you asking from the agent perspective also?
Yes.
And there are issues throughout the process. If I may kind of digress a little bit, I was listening to a sports talk show yesterday. The father of a few NFL quarterbacks was on the air speaking, and I found it very interesting that he was highly critical of the agent community. Specifically in regard to the SEC issues that are going on now. And then he spoke about the Cam Newton situation and the timing of it, and he spoke sympathetically about Cam and about the schools involved. And I certainly am not here to defend the agent community. There's a lot of bad stuff that goes on out there. But also what goes on at the university level with some coaches and personnel and boosters and alums, there's a lot of bad that goes on there too. So the sport or sports are full in every corner of inappropriate conduct. And there's also a lot of good examples set out there. And it really isn't any different than what goes on in society. You have good and you have bad. What to do about it is the big
Joe,
question.
Maybe for our listeners and for Habbo, explain what are the rules with regard to agent contact with players? What are you allowed to do as an agent?
Well, you're going to have to be more specific. An agent in what sport? Because the rules...
Oh, it varies sports.
Let's take football.
Football for the time being, I guess.
Well, generally speaking, you cannot give a player anything of value that's not generally available to the student body.
But you're allowed to have contact with them? In other words, you can talk to them by phone or whatever?
You can communicate.
You can communicate.
There are attempts to regulate that, and there are certainly counterarguments why, limit their speech. My concern has always been that if you make a rule and say you cannot do such and such, you cannot talk, you cannot offer, you cannot give, well, the good guys are going to say, okay, I'll follow the rules, I'll stay away. But the bad guys are going to get in there. One way or another. So now what have you done by implementing those rules? You have deprived the players of perhaps the representation they should be seeking and left them vulnerable to only the people that aren't going to follow the rules in the first place.
So you got the unscrupulous agents involved, and of course the good guys are not going to get the clients, and that not only hurts the players, but hurts the agents and their business.
That's right.
And so what just from a basketball standpoint, are the rules different in contacting basketball players?
I do not know the answer to that in basketball. In baseball, they are different. One way that they are different is that when you are, generally speaking, the baseball union frowns upon loans and gifts being offered to players, either before, during, or after the player has committed to you. In football, they highly recommend that loans are made to players after their eligibility is completed.
Well, okay.
That's a 180-degree variance in the way the two unions approach the situation. The football union made the argument that it's a benefit to their players for them to have money made available to them after their eligibility is completed prior to the draft in that spring.
And that's where they get into trouble, because last year Vern was on the show and he clearly described exactly what's been happening in the college culture, where the agents are taking an inch, are taking that inch and they're pushing it a mile.
They're absolutely, they loan money to players. It's very regular. And in fact, although, as Joe says, the union, the football union regulations actually say you may not offer anything of value to have them sign with you as an agent, they are, the agents offer these loans to players. It's very routine. And the union says, yes, we recognize that's something of value, but we're going to ignore it because it's good to our, good for our players.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens in, and that's where you run into the danger of getting into agents recruiting still eligible college athletes, which is, you know, not the big news that we've seen lately, probably because we're not at the end of the season right now, but towards the end of the season, the runners and the freelancers and others have been in there recruiting those players away, and they are trying to recruit those players for agents. And if they've been offering money, if they've been offering things of value, then those players are no longer amateurs, and they're not eligible to play NCAA sports.
Now, from an agent perspective, do you try to establish relations directly with the players or the coaches or the school, or how do you do that?
Well, it depends on the sport, again. But in football, I will let you know right now that I have dropped out of the football business because I was not willing to do what you had to do to sign players, because what those actions entailed were against the regulations. So I followed the rules, and I could not compete. I could not sign players. Ray Roberts was my last high draft pick in football. Ray was a special – he's a very special guy, and he had his values straight, and he was not interested in things from agents that he could get anywhere.
Well, you don't make the system sound like it's full of integrity at the moment.
I'm not trying to.
let's pivot a little bit. There's accusations and allegations and all kinds of finger pointing going on down in Chapel Hill relative to were tutors writing papers for athletes and this kind of thing. And, you know, shucks, this has been going on for a long time. Florida State had the online testing issues a couple of years ago, and they got caught. Here's a case of a former nanny who is also somehow related to the coaching staff, working in some capacities, also writing papers or tutoring athletes. And, you know, the NCAA is investigating all this now, and eventually they'll get to the bottom of this. It is interesting that two more players this week were ruled ineligible for the rest of the season down in North Carolina, which I thought was a bad sign, I think, for Butch Davis and his staff and the folks at North Carolina. But maybe this whole thing will get cleaned up. I mean, do you see dramatic changes maybe coming from the NFL putting pressure on, you know, the agents to stop participating in this nonsense? Because it seems like...
No.
No.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that the NFL benefits from the current college system. They don't have to have a true farm system like you have in baseball, and you don't see the NFL pushing any changes. Now, the union, the PA, is not the NFL, a separate organization. They really don't have any great incentive to do it either, because they, as they say, they view their players getting benefits when they get help in school. I mean, I don't think the union would say that, but that certainly when they get the money. So, they don't have any real incentive to deal with that. What they care about is when they become professional, what happens. So there's not going to be – I don't see pressure coming from that direction. Where you're going to see it is from the NCAA continuing to try to clean these things up. But there are lots of problems in the system, and we can talk about how the players are really being taken advantage of and used here in big ways, and including, you know, part of what they get for playing football is an education, and if they're cheating them of the education, they're not even giving them that. So.
Well, that sounds like a nice segue to our after the break. We're going to go to a break right now and have messages from our good sponsors, including LeClaire Ryan, by the way, but we're visiting with Vern Inge and Joe Stroba. Stick with us. Don't forget 345-0910 if you have a question for these gentlemen. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.